I'd like to speak this morning on the idea of Satan blocking our way, as Annette said. Some of the other versions translate that same Greek word as hindered, and that's what it means. It means to hinder, to block, it means to impede. So what we have here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is Paul's testimony to this particular church. And Paul and Silas and Timothy, they were very much attracted to this particular church family because of the establishment of that church and what it had to offer to them in fellowship. And also the joy in their heart, they knew the names of the people that were there. They understood their families. They understood their needs. And they wanted to go and visit that church. But as the scripture says in verse 18 here of this chapter, but Satan blocked our way, but Satan hindered us. Will you let me read the text again this morning? Because this is our foundational text. And I'm going to share some thoughts today that I have amplified. I'm taking as a foundation for our sermon today a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, and if you look it up, it's called Satanic Hindrances. So I'm going to bounce back and forth from what he has written in his sermon to what I want to personalize it with today. But the idea is the same, that Satan is alive and well, and Satan works today to hinder the work and the cause of God. Now I want to read again 1 Thessalonians 2. He says in verse 18, but we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. Satan blocked our way. Satan impeded what we wanted to do. Now, I want to focus on that one little phrase today. And I want you to understand that we're wrestling today in spiritual warfare. In the Christian journey, there's a whole world, and we've talked about it before, of spiritual conflict that's taking place. You cannot see it with these eyes. We only read about it in Scripture. But we also experience some of the havoc that Satan brings through his power upon the Christian community. As a person of faith, you owe it yourself to give some attention and to seek some understanding for this conflict we are in between right and wrong. Now, we need to have a balance. And I apologize to you as a church today. I've never really seriously in sermon preparation felt a burden as I do now to try to make clear some of the ways that Satan hinders us. And in honesty, I just have to tell you, I don't understand most of it. And it's difficult to talk about something that I don't understand. Now, even with the gift of gab and to talk about some things, in a way, if you don't even know about it, some people have that gift, but whoever stands behind this pulpit, this is no place to exercise that gift. It needs to be biblical. It needs to be based on biblical truth. But from Scripture here now, and this foundational text, just in a simple way, Paul says we wanted to go over there and we wanted to visit that church, but Satan hindered us. I begin to ask the question, well, does the Holy Spirit ever hinder us from doing things? If Satan can hinder and Satan is the counterfeit, well then surely sometimes then the Holy Spirit must also guide people either toward or against certain things. And there's a couple of texts that I found this week. One of them is in Acts 16:17. Acts 16:7. It just says that they wanted to go into Bithynia, They wanted to do some ministry there, but the Holy Spirit would not let them go. Interesting thought. Here we have, by the testimony of Paul, they wanted to go to a particular place to work, Karen, and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. There was a particular time the brethren wanted to go into Asia and work. And the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go into Asia. So I'm building a little case here, evidence from Scripture, that the Holy Spirit can lead people forward or the Holy Spirit can stop. At the same time, the power of Satan can move people forward or the power of Satan can also stop. Now, my challenge as a speaker is to try to figure out from Scripture, how do we know the difference? I have the tendency, when something bad's taking place, to place all the blame on Satan. That, to me, is the easy route, Esther. Let's blame all the wrong and the evil on the old mean devil. And let's attribute all the good that happens to the other power. Let's give God credit for that. And that may be the safest route to go. But in theology, when you begin to dig into this in Scripture, there are some questions that come up I don't know the answer to. But before we're finished today and maybe a couple of weeks from now, we can come to some of these answers. And by the way, next Sabbath, our good friend Elder Bob DeForest is going to be with us. And I always enjoy listening to him speak. And I will probably be with you too, but he's going to be here a bit behind the pulpit. Going back to our text here in Thessalonians, why would the devil care where Paul and Silas and Timothy were in any way? Why would he not be more concerned about Nero or Tiberius Caesar, somebody with more weight and influence than the Apostle Paul? Why would he want to take such particular care to keep Paul and Timothy and Silas away from that church? Here's the master of evil. Here's the prince of the power of the air. He's intently watching the journeyings of these three humble men. And apparently very concerned about where they are going. He hated them. I think I know partially, I think I know a partial answer. It's because they preached a name that makes devils tremble. The Apostle Paul and his associates, they preached a righteousness that Satan cannot combat. When people begin to hear the story of Christ presented in the right way and with the authority and blessing of the Holy Spirit, things begin to change. Now, Satan doesn't want that. Very maliciously, Satan must have followed Paul and Silas. Finally, Timothy went. You know, he went. He got sent over. But Paul would write, we all wanted to come together, but Satan hindered us. It seems to me that some of the reasons that Satan wanted them to be kept away was that the church was rather young. It was a little bit weak. I remember not long ago, at least it doesn't seem that long ago, when this church here in Chatsworth was young and weak and struggling. You had a strong faith. You've heard the story here of the core group that met in a house and met downtown and finally purchased this property and moved next door. But it was young and it was struggling. And this church did not want to be an orphan of Cahutta or Dalton. Am I telling the truth? Those of you who were here, you wanted it to stand on its own in the ministry and have leadership here for Murray County. Don't think for a moment that Satan was not watching. Now, he's not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at one time. He's not omniscient like God in knowing everything, but he studied the minds of people and he knows personalities and he knows strengths and he knows weaknesses. When I came here as pastor, I learned some of the weaknesses that we had as a church, and I learned some of the mighty strengths, and praise God, the strength of this church is stronger than its weaknesses. But we had some growing to do. And we are still growing and change is still coming. And God is still blessing. But Satan will hinder us if he can. Satan has a fierce hatred. He gets angry and stomps his feet and pooches out his lips and becomes red in the face at the plain, simple preaching of the gospel. Now that's what Paul was good at, preaching the gospel. Oh, if necessary, he could talk about the second coming of Christ. He could talk about the state of the dead. He could talk about the rise of the Antichrist power. He had it all in order, yes. But what he was so good at and what he trained the other men to do was to begin first with an anchor thought and doctrine that there's none other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And the devil hated that. It's no wonder that the devil hindered them. If we didn't have some challenges as a church, I would almost be led to believe that we are not doing the work of God. Because when good is to be invented and when good is to be improved upon, that's when Satan brings out his mighty artillery to try and stop it. Satan was afraid that a revival might break out in that church. I wonder what Satan's afraid of with us in Chatsworth, Georgia. You know, I have told people where my church is, and they say, "Where?" We think the whole world knows where we are here at the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. We are a mile east of the courthouse and right here at the just right on the way to Fort Mountain. But the rest of the world doesn't, they don't really know that. I would dare say that there are certain people that don't even know where Georgia is. Much less Chatsworth, Georgia. But I promise you, Satan knows where we are. If we could roll back the tapestry of time, we could really see the events and lives of families represented here today, I believe with all my heart we would be able to accurately sense just how much Satan hates good and how much Satan has hindered you. You are not going to escape him. One Christian preaching the gospel can begin a mighty fire of revival. One man that gets the victory over a lifetime habit influences all of those around him. All it takes is one. No wonder Satan is not confused, but really concerned when you get 75 people together who have a common cause. Why, in Scripture it says when they were all in unity, they were all in one accord meeting together, that the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the early church, born out of that experience, would never be the same again. That's what God wants for us. And at the same time, Satan is hindering, or he wishes to hinder us. Praise God for all the testimony we can give at the times when we've not let him become the victor. I don't think I ever shared this, but when we were building this church here and we were trying to figure out how to pay for it and how not to plunge the church into debt. And I remember some meetings that we had next door early on, and we all thought we were right. I can't name names this morning, and I wouldn't if I could. Sometimes it's good to have selective memory. It just goes away. So I can talk about it without fear. But some of you were very outspoken as to how we should do certain things. So we made a list. Do any of you remember that? We wrote down things that we wanted and things that we didn't want. And we wrestled through all of those. But there were still times when I would drive up here from my home toward one of those meetings, my heart would be beating, and all the conflict resolution skills that I had developed, and there weren't very many of them. I was just hoping, God, you've got to work here. You started this project, and you want to move it through, and Satan would hinder us. He would divide us if he could. And somehow, by God's good grace, we move through. And we've been united and joined together by a common cause. And our church did not die. It was not strangled by the hindrances of Satan. We've prayed that God would send people to us. I look around this sanctuary today. 10 years ago, most of you were not even here. But praise God, you are here today. God has blessed us. Satan has tried to hinder us, and God has run him away, mostly. I say mostly. I still think about the red brick and how much prettier it would have been. Hey, I have to confess, I was wrong. The church was right. The brown brick, it looks great. You know, I completely lost my place here. Satan hates unity. That's the reason he tries to bring in hindrances. Now, how does he do that? How does Satan bring in hindrances to a church? Well, there at Thessalonica, He kept certain people from coming there. He wanted to kill the church. He wanted to strangle it, as I said. Satan always hates unity, and he hates fellowship. It's Satan's design to keep Christians apart. I praise God for the activity that we have in this church. I praise God for the level of activity that we have in this church that unites us in fellowship. But we still have room to grow. We have to grow. We have to break down some barriers. We have educational barriers. We have a socioeconomic barriers that Satan would try to use against us. We don't want him working here. We want the power of God to present us all as one in Christ. Yes, we have some different gifts. Some of us are still struggling with our gifts. You may wonder, God, why did you give it to me? God knows what He's doing. He's not making mistakes with you. Satan would want you to doubt what He's doing, but don't listen to him. So, anything that divides saints from one another is exactly what Satan wants to amplify. Satan may just attach more importance on godly fellowship than we do. Did you catch that? Satan attaches far more importance to godly fellowship than we do. That's a hindrance. Since union is strength, Satan does his best to promote separation. He would try to discourage Paul. And there are some statements here in the New Testament that are really interesting, but it seems like the more positive statements override all the others. I wish I could be more of a positive. He could stand up and he could say, "Men and brethren, I know in whom I have believed. I know that He's going to keep that which I've given to Him. No matter if I'm shipwrecked, if I'm bitten by a snake, if I'm beaten, if I'm stoned," he says, "I know God's going to keep me because I know in whom I have believed." Satan would have kept that fellowship out of Paul's life if he could. I just like to think at times that God takes care of His people too. There are circumstances, I know, when God just sends people my direction. And my testimony is that God uses Scripture and God uses music and God uses a lot of things to try to communicate with me, but it seems like the most common tool that God has used in my life has been people. Just when I need affirmation or I need a word of direction, it can come from the most basic, simple place. It's kind of like God always knows where I am. And probably the truth is, it's not a probably at all. He does know where I am. God's trying to bless and Satan's trying to hinder. And I get to choose to whom I give the credit. And so do you. If you have time this afternoon, let me give you an assignment. Several places are very evident in Scripture where Satan hindered people. Let me give you a brief summary. I think of Job. Job was upright and perfect in all of his ways. He did not deserve to be treated the way he was. But Satan tried to hinder Job. By the way, if you wanted to look up that story, see, where in the Bible would you find it? What book would that be in? Oh, that's right. Yes, it would be in the book of Job, wouldn't it? So if you wanted to kind of review that story, you could go there. I believe that book's just, it's real close to Psalms. In a strange conversation between Satan and God, Satan could not make an accusation about his behavior, so he began to attack the motives of Job. And Satan says to God, and I'm summarizing here, he says, look, it's no wonder he serves you. Look at all you've given him. You've placed a hedge around his income, around his family, around his children. Why, if you take all that away, he won't serve you. And in a strange way, and here's some of the theology of God, permission was given to attack Job. It wasn't long before all of his livestock was gone. His 10 children were dead. Their families, most of them dead. His body racked with pain. And then his wife comes and says, ha, you think you have integrity? Why don't this God that you serve and love so much, he could have kept all of this from you. It must be his will that you are now hurting and suffering. Why don't you just curse God and go ahead and die and get it over with? Now, I don't understand how all this took place, but one thing I understand. The story of Job has blessed millions of people for centuries. If the paintbrush had not given us that portrait of his life and of pain and suffering that he went through, you would never see a man of God blessed the way Job was. The end was greater than the beginning. So it always is with that look at the big picture. Satan tried to hinder Job. Satan tried to hinder King David. Satan tried to hinder Solomon. Satan tried to hinder Moses. Oh, and here's a good one. I like the word emancipation proclamation. I just watched a series on American presidents, and quite interesting, some of the shenanigans that our presidents have been a part of. That's all I want to say. But during the Civil War, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed by President Abraham Lincoln, which was that legal document declaring freedom from slavery. In kind of a spiritual sense, people who are seeking the emancipation document from sin are hindered by Satan. Let me give you an example. This man and his wife are both dead now, so I can tell the story. There was a postman. He would sit in the parking lot of the Selma Seventh-day Adventist Church for his lunch break. And he would read some of our magazines going to some of our members. He came under conviction that the Sabbath was right. It just happened that about that same time, as a young pastor, I thought the world could be converted in a day. And I began to preach the book of Revelation in the Selma Seventh-day Adventist Church. And that man came. He was already surrendering his life to Christ. He wanted to let go of the slavery of sin and to be freed from that and to embrace the righteousness of Christ. He was so much on fire, he says, I want to be in the first baptism. His wife, she called. I've never had a call like this. She said, Pastor Stover, if you baptize him, I'm going to divorce him. I'm going to leave him. I'm taking the kids, and we are truly leaving. One of the few men I've ever suggested we need to wait a while. But he had not taken the right legal steps to just quit his job and move away and have no interest in the medical benefits for his family and insurance and things of that nature. I didn't see how that would be pleasing to God. But I just share as a hindrance. Satan brings up all kinds of things. Now we worked it out. And guess what happened to her? Oh, you know what happened to her. We had one of these things there too. It wasn't long before she was smiling and she was in there with her husband. And their kids went to Bass Memorial Academy. Another man, Pensacola, Florida. This man's dead now also. Came under conviction to keep the Sabbath. He was making over $50,000 as a union painting superintendent. $50,000 in the 70s was a lot of money. Well, it's not pocket change today either, is it? We talked about it. We discussed it. One hindrance after another came up. But by the power of God and the exercise of faith, Satan lost and God won. And he became the first man I ever baptized. I want to tell you a quick story as I close here this morning. In the book of Luke, there's a man that wanted to bring his son to Christ. It's Luke chapter 9. This father had one son, and the son was in terrible shape. He was possessed by a demon or demons. And in the story in Luke 9, he wants to bring his son to Christ. But Satan wanted to hinder him. He goes to the disciples of Christ and he says, can you fellas pray here a little bit and cast this demon out? And they couldn't do it. Finally, the man somehow in the story there in what book is it? Chapter Luke 9. The man finally makes his way to Christ himself. But before he gets there, the boy begins to spit and foam at the mouth, and his eyes roll back in his head. He lays on the ground, and he's convulsing, and terrible, painful seizures taking place. It's the man's only child. The only... Well, you know what it's like. Some of you here have lost a child. It's not a fun thing. He wanted his son to live and to be healed. He can have a good life. And Satan is bringing up these hindrances. The moral of all of this is that freedom, that emancipation that Satan hates so much is the very reason that Jesus came to the earth. The whole fundamental story of salvation is based upon God's love for humanity and God's desire that we have a better life and we be freed from the assaults of Satan. By the grace of God, just when we need it the most, that's when Jesus shows up. Now listen, friend, whatever hindrances there are in your life, intentionally try to identify some of those this week and work past them.